Okay, good morning, good Hanukkah, good Chodesh. A very special thank you to all the Masadrim, specifically Reb Moti and Nachman Fried, Moti Zeitlin and everyone else, and my Rebbe, Reb Chaim Kramer, BRI. With your permission, I'm going to dedicate this morning's learning of Likutei Moran to Le'iloi Nishmas, my father-in-law, whose yahrzeit is tonight, my mother-in-law, whose yahrzeit was last week, Daniel ben Yosef and Yocheved bat David. Should be an aliyah to their neshama. If someone's called up to the Sefer Torah and they faint, what do you say to them? May your neshama have an aliyah. Also, just as a ground rule, from moving forward in order to cover more ground and not let myself get distracted, I'm going to ask if there's any questions to keep it very short. Short means like within a few seconds, not paragraphs or chapters. And if I can answer it in a very short way, which is not something that I'm good at, but I will try. But if not, I'll ask to please make some sort of simon that you remember the question, and I'll make time for at the end to answer it. So it will cover Bezrat Hashem more ground. So last week we ended up. We quoted, which we'll probably look at inside today, from Lamed Gimel in Likutei Moran, the first Chelek, where Rav Nachman quotes a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, Perek Lamed Aleph, pasuk Beis, Ahavat Olam Haftich. Now, correctly translated, it means an eternal, unlimited love, Haftich, I have loved you. That means it's unending. Hashem is claiming, my love for you is impossible to measure because it has no beginning and no end. And therefore, Al Kain, that's the rest of the pasuk is, Mashachtich Chasid, I have drawn down kindness upon you. So Rav Nachman explains in that Torah, just look at it very quickly, Lamed Gimel, I'll tell you in a second which paragraph, it's paragraph Dalet. Pull out Lamed Gimel in Likutei Moran. In the first chelik, and it's in paragraph Dalet. V'zeh yadua she'haTorah haynu hamidos. The Torah are measurements. He's already spoken about this and explain it more a little bit later in this Torah. Haynu hayamim. Every single day is also a measurement. Everything's measurements in this world. Shereh behem avaso yisparach shemoy. Hashem rests, and another word for it is saturates his love inside all of these elements, everything. Kemosh Kasa B'Zoya Kaddish has brought in Zoya Kaddish, Parshas Balak, Kuf Tzadik Aleph, and Brachos in Mem Vav, Yoimam Yitzaveh Hashem Chasdoi. It's during the day that Hashem commands his chesed. That's from Tehillim Perek Mem Beis Pasuk Tes. Now he explains, what is Hashem's chesed? Shachesed Haynu Ha'ava. Chesed is really another term for love, Hashem's love. So this is a really, really important definition that Rav Nachman is revealing to us. Kemosha Kasav, and here is his text proof. How do I know that Chesed is Ava? Avas Olam Haftich. My love for you is unlimited. Actually, this pasuk in Yirmiyahu that we're quoting right now is brought in Gemara in Brachos of Yud Aleph. For the makar, for why we say the words Avas Olam, Ahavtanu. We say that in the brachas for Kriyat Shema. Your love for us is an unending, eternal, infinite love. So that means it's not a quantity, not in breadth or in depth. It's just endless, endless, endless love. So Avas Olam Ahavtich, and Al Kain, therefore, he's put it here in parenthesis, but this is actually the continuation of the exact same pasuk, and this is where the text proof is actually from. Al kein mashachti chasid, because I have an unlimited love for you, that's why I've drawn upon you kindness. So last week we looked at a number of different pictures of experiencing Hashem's kindness through wind and the sunshine and rainfall and gravity, which is another invisible hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, Hashem's kindness is throughout the entire Bria, and there's a purpose for that, because he's really screaming out what? If Chesed is actually just a cover-up, so to speak, is actually camouflage. The way Rav Nachman is explaining this word, Chesed, Hainu Ha'ava. Chesed is love. So when Hashem is constantly enabling us to experience all His kindnesses, at this very moment, if it weren't for gravity, our bodies would collapse. We would fall to the ground. Wouldn't be able to lift ourselves up. Wouldn't be able to hold our body up. Every single element within creation, every single atom, never trust atoms, they make up everything. Every single atom in your body, every single molecule is actually constantly given life by Hashem. And we actually even say when we are forced to expel toxicity from our body, we say a bracha asher yatza, and we say the most astonishing words. Galui v'yadua lifnei chisei kevedecha. So the Chazal tell us, where's the kisei covered? So it's difficult to call it a distance, but in the Gemara in Chagiga, I think it's Yud Beis, it talks about the distance between the seven heavens and the distance between each one. It's 500 years of constant travel, non-stop. So if you imagine each olam, and then you'll, after the seven heavens, you get to the heel of the lowest malach. So, and then from the heel to the ankle is the combined distance of everything you covered till now. From the ankle to the knee of that malach is the combined distance of everything. It goes on and on. It's like an impossible number to really calculate. And what comes out is that after you've finished all the malachim till you get to the kisei hakavod, you realize, oh my gosh, in terms of distance, Chazal just want us to understand it's really, really way out there. And then all of a sudden, every single day, it's the most common bracha. Mishnah Berurah says if you've got a bracha between Bura and the Fashas, for example, and Asher Yatzah, you have to say Asher Yatzah first because it's Tadir Sheina Tadir Tadir Kaidim. So it's the most common blessing we make on a daily basis, and we say the most astonishing liturgy. What is the language? Galui v'yadu lifnei chisei kevedecha. This one piece of information, and what's that one piece of information? If any of our openings or closing were open instead of being closed, or closed instead of being open, EF Shalish Kaim Afilu Shachas, it's like Ribbono Shel Olam. Jeez, what's going on over here? How did Chazal legislate that the lowest physical function of the human body, the lowest, which after digestion is expulsion of anything that the body cannot use, why would they choose this of any other function to pay attention to? Galui yadua lifnei chisei kevedecha. It's not only galui, it's yadua. This is, it's not enough for it to be galui. This is recorded, it's known. And what's the known? That if there would be any dysfunction in any of my body functions, that it would not enable me to go to the bathroom, the lowest of all functions, EF Shalis Kaim Afilu Shachas, we couldn't stand before you even for a moment. So what's coming out is really quite astonishing. I think I may have shared this on a different class. It might have been less than a year ago. That if your father or your mother asked you, you know what, I'm an anxious type of a personality. You know, a mother once sent a telegram to her son, "Start worrying, details to follow." So I'll figure out something to worry about. So imagine your mother calls you, say, "Look, keep it aim, you get long life. I mean, it's really worth it. It's really, really worth it. So I have a request to make of you, that every time you come out of the bathroom, could you quickly just call me on your cell phone and let me know that everything's fine?" "Are you serious, Mum?" "Yeah, I just want to know that everything's okay." "Okay, Mum, fine, keep it in, what am I going to do?" So 40 minutes later, "Mum, I just want to let you know everything's good. I just came out of the bathroom." "Good, that's wonderful." An hour later, "Mum, I just want to let you know, just came out of the bathroom, everything's good. Everything's coming out good, everything's good, fine, everything's..." And this goes on a few times a day. What's the obvious glaring message your mother is saying to you? For those who are awake.
I care.
What do you care about?
That you're well.
That you're well. And what's the example you're asking me that I should hopefully open my eyes and realize you care about this particular detail?
To acknowledge and be thankful.
Very nice.
So comes along Kadosh Baruch Hu and says, every time you come out, I want you to say this. It doesn't tickle me pink. I don't need it. I don't need the nachas. I'm perfect without you thanking me. But I want you to pay attention to the smallest detail, and I want you more than anything else to realize Where is this recorded? Lifnei Kisei Kevedecha. Goes through all of the universes until it reaches the Kisei Kavod. And this is a function, this is a physical function that you and I do involuntarily. Meaning to say, you don't control the urge to, if you have to go, you have to go. It's actually halacha, Mefurish in Rambam, Hilchos Deos, Perek Dalet, halacha Aleph, that you have to go to the bathroom as soon as you experience the need for it. There are tanais and how long you can hold yourself in, etc. But the etzem message is, please trust the integrity of the way I created your body. It has such perfect intelligence, because God's intelligence is perfect. So when you need to go to the bathroom, please go. But the real reason is not the bathroom. The real reason is that maybe one day I'll chab that if you care so much about a function that's totally involuntary, how much more so, kol sheken, kal v'chomer, how many kal v'chomers, that you must care when I actually make a hirur of teshuvah, or I say a thank you to someone who I'm actually upset with, but I say thank you to them for a certain tova anyway, and I'm miskabel over my anger, or my resentment, or my hatred. How much more so when we employ our bechira, for which you actually put me in this world for, how much more so are you screaming out, I love you? Hashem screaming out, I love you. I love you while you're asleep and your stomach is digesting an incredible, incredible process of identifying what's actually helpful to your bodily health and what isn't. And it's sending whatever isn't out of your body. It's an astonishing process. So Hashem is screaming every second of our lives, I love you, I love you, I love you. And because I might get into a horrible, horrible state of stinking thinking, where my mind poisons itself with anger, resentment, negativity, remembering what I don't like about my marriage, about my kids, about my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, and I start going down that horrible slope. So Hashem wants me to know that, please, the first thing I want you to do when you wake up in the morning is say, Moda Ani. I don't need your Moda Ani, says Hashem. I want you to say those first two words and realize Moda Ani means I am a thank you. That's what I'm here for. And I want you to finish off that verse, not a verse, that statement, Rabba Imuna Secha. How great is your Imuna in me, Hashem, that with all my negativity, you gave me another chance this morning. You woke me up because you believe I can change myself. And says Hashem, now please do a checkup from the neck up. What's the checkup from the neck up? I'm going with the Sephardi order of Brikas HaShachar. You gave me Bina to be able to tell the difference between right and wrong, just like a rooster cock-a-doodle-doos at the moment of dawn. You gave me the ability to check, to actually see the difference between what's good and what's not good. Oh, Shasali Kolsarki, you gave me shoes, you provide me all my needs. OMG, that's huge. Oh, Zaykef Kufufim, thank you for my spine and my spinal cord, my nervous system. So Hashem is screaming out, your body is literally saying all the time, when we're just looking at a few lines in Lamed Gimel, in the first chelik of Likutim Ran, paragraph Dalet, Shachesed hu ha'ava. Hashem's chesed is really his love. And he's drawing it down upon us. Why? Because avas olam ha'avtik. My love for you is unending. But I can't spell it out to you, because if I do, you'll be so overwhelmed by how much I love you, you would lose your bechira. So I put you in a physical world of brilliant illusion. It's such a brilliant dimion that you're constantly distracted, and so you actually need a daily checkup from the neck up. Thank you, Hashem, for my eyes. Thank you for my physical eyes, for my eyesight. I've always enjoyed good eyesight. I can see with full color, three dimension. Some of you during COVID might have seen there was a clip going around of a gentleman, elderly gentleman, that I shared this with you, no? I don't remember. The elderly gentleman in his late 60s, it was during COVID, so the daughters came for his birthday to leave on his porch a present for his birthday. So they rang on the bell and then they stood at the social distance, and he comes out, you can see he's like a grumpy type of a personality. Happy birthday, Dad! Like, no, he's not mushy at all. And then he said, what's this? And there's a bag on his porch. He says, Dad, it's for you. What is it? Dad, open it up. So he opens up the bag, and there's some sort of a gifted package there, and he pulls it out and says, what's this? He says, Dad, open it. So he opens it up, and there's a box. Dad, open the box. It's your birthday. He opens the box, and there's a pair of glasses. He says, what's this for? He said, Dad, put them on. So he puts them on, and as he puts... he starts tearing, and he starts crying. He was born colorblind. He's never seen blue, green, yellow. He's never seen any colors. And for the first time in his life, he sees a blue sky. He sees the green grass in his backyard. And his eyes are tearing, and this not mushy guy breaks down because he never saw color before. Pokeach Ivrim, thank you Hashem. Please don't take my eyesight away that I have to appreciate it. I'm going to appreciate it right now. Thank you Hashem. Malbish Arumim, thank you for my wardrobe. It's Dvarim Pshutim Admoid, but that's the whole point of what Rav Nachman wants to bring to us, that it's the Dava Pashut that we get excited about. It's Pshitas and Tamimus for the good that's already in our lives. And the Kudus Tovus is not some sort of positive thinking, it's reality thinking. And Nakuda is the lowest, smallest dot. Toiva, that's good, that I can possibly add up and then come to the possible conclusion that why are you doing all this for me, Hashem? Because you love me so much. What's going to happen next is what I think was the paragraph 2 of what we quoted in Torah Zion, which we're learning. And that is, if I really hope that you love me so much, what's the most obvious thing I can do next? What's the most obvious conclusion I can come to? Hashem's hiding behind Teva, but it's a perfect world just so I can breathe air. What's the purpose of it? Okay, so I can come to realize you love me so much, and therefore what? What's the therefore? So now everything is echad, so now I can become possibly an Enoid Melvadic type of a personality. It's really one. So a person could be attempted assassination by his 10 brothers. You can't imagine such a thing, but imagine it anyway. And then they change their mind and just throw him in a pit. It's filled with scorpions and snakes. You know, why don't we just make a buck on him? So they sell him. And he's sold down to Mitzrayim. And what do you think should be going through this mind? What should be going through his mind? He ends up being sold as a slave. But he remembers all the halachas of an Eved Neeman from his father, and he applies them to Potiphar. But not only that, he's constantly talking to Hashem. Shkur Hashem, Hashem Shkur Befiv. Even V'yaris Adonav, even Potiphar, who was such a low life, he was a Mishkavzor, he actually had eyes on Yosef. He was such a low life, and he actually could see the Shekhinah was with him. How can you see that? So Rashi points out, what's it mean Hashem's with him? So Rashi quotes the Medrash, Hashem Hashem Shkur Befiv, because whatever he did, he was matzliach. He wanted hot, warm wine, it was warm, but cold, it was cold. So Potiphar thought, you must be some sort of magician. No, I'm asked, what are you saying? Which spell are you putting on this drink? No, I'm not saying any spell. I'm asking Hashem, who's Elohim, he's the power of all powers, help me be matzlich and everything. Within a year of this employment, he's accused of a most horrible of crimes, falsely, ends up in jail, 12 years. Is that a long time to do some thinking? What do you think he might be thinking? How did I get here? Oh yeah, my brothers, if I ever get my hands. What's going through his mind? 12 years. And we're talking about Hashem Echad, you only do chesed, you're only kind to me. So after 12 years in prison, it's actually coming up literally this week's parasha in a shul near you. What does he say? Ani Yosef Achichem. I'm your brother. Before that he said, Ani Yosef Oda Avichai. They are stunned. They can't believe this. They don't believe it. And he says, no, I'll prove to you that I'm your brother. Number one, Asher Machati Moisi, you are the ones that sold me. Nobody knew that. And no one's allowed to even be Megala that. So the fact that I know that means that I really am your brother. And then he shows them he's got Bris Milah. Nobody in Mitzrayim had Bris Milah, only Yosef and his two sons. And now they realize, oh my gosh. Now what do you think is going through their minds? What do you think is going through their minds? Oh my gosh, this is Yosef?
Revenge!
Oh no! It's going to take a sweet revenge against us. What's the next words? The ata, and now, al te'atzvu ve'al yichar be'enechem. Do not get worried, don't get depressed, don't be anxious. Ve'al yichar be'enechem, don't go to a therapist and talk about this for a long time. Don't get angry, don't be angry in your eyes. Ki mechatim oisihena, that you sold me. Don't go there. You got to be joking. This is just a setup. Now you're going to beat us up, right? No. Ki lemechia shelachani elokim lifneichem. Elohim, the powerful power, sent me before you to provide food. It's all good. And as though the Torah has extra ink to spell, he repeats himself. Pasuk Zayin, Vishalachini Elohim lifneichem lasum lachem sheris ba'aretz. Hashem sent me before you. So I don't understand. The Torah is made that you were sold by your brothers who were originally going to kill you, then they dropped you in a pit, and then they sold you. How can you say it wasn't them, it was Hashem? So this is what we're talking about the whole time. This is what Rav Nachum is trying to help us understand. At ha'areta ledat, I have already shown you. Ki Elokim, Hashem hu Elokim. Hashem is the only power of all powers. Ein oid mevadoid, nothing else exists. It's not, this world is not real. It's only what we think it is that makes it real to us. Our wives are not our real wives. It's only who we think they are. Our children are not our children. It's only who we think they are. Life is not life. It's what we think it is. And so comes along Yosef HaTzadik and tells us, I don't care how difficult your life is, Hashem has put you there. And Hashem put me in Potiphar's house, and my father told me, blossom where you're planted. Serve Hashem where you're planted. Behold, wherever life takes you, da'ehu. Recognize he's the only Elohim, ein oid melvadoi. And it wasn't always easy. Falsely accused, thrown into prison. But guess what? He kept coming back to his default. Hashem, you're the only one in charge. And now he's helping his brothers recognize this emes that he was always holding on to and never letting go, because he was a real tzaddik. His brothers didn't know that. They misunderstood him completely. And now it says, Sameni Elohim la'adon l'chol Mitzrayim. Hashem, Elohim, the power of all powers, he has placed me as an adon on all Mitzrayim. My Rebbe, Reb Chaim Kramer, would read it slightly different. He would say, Sameni Elohim la'adon l'chol Mitzrayim. I have placed Hashem above all of Egypt so that they recognize he's Elohim. And he wanted his father to know that he's in a position to actually persuade the whole country that there's only one power of all powers. So the point I'm bringing out is Hashem is hiding behind Teva, and Teva is Chesed. It's pure Chesed all the time. Mashachtich, I'm bringing down Chesed upon you all day long. And says Rav Nachman, Chesed is Ava. And it's based on this Pasuk, Ahavas Olam Ahavtich. It's unlimited. And who's it talking about? It's talking about specifically Klal Yisrael, more than anyone else. We are the beloved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is in paragraph base, which we're finishing up in Torah Zion, is the Das that the Tzaddik Emes, Moshe Rabbeinu, wanted to bring into us, imbue into us, inject in a way that you can never get out your system. And it will always be your default. You always, always come back to this Hareta Ladas. You have been shown, I am Elohim, and there's no other power besides me. So, in a certain sense, Hashem is screaming throughout everything we experience, and most of it is in silence. Most of Teva is happening in total. You don't hear gravity, you don't hear the sun, it makes no noise. You don't even hear wind. You know, most physicists will tell you can't see wind and you can't hear it. You can hear the effects of wind, and in Lashon HaKodesh, wind is ruach. Ruach is a three-letter shoresh of which word? Reach, smell, which you can't see. You only know it exists because you're able to actually identify its smell, its aroma.
Spirituality,
ruchnius.
Not a magician.
You can't see ruchnius. How do you know it exists? You can't see wind. How do you know it exists? You see the effects of wind blowing on the trees and the leaves. You hear things blowing from the wind. Wind makes no sound. In the world of physics, if you're in a room where there's absolutely no sound whatsoever, eventually your eardrums will become attuned to the sound of the atoms in the atmosphere banging against your eardrums, and then it can become deafening, Chas v'Shalom.
What's the pasuk? The pasuk says, "Lei bereach Hashem, lei bereach."
Ela bereach, beruach.
Ki loy.
Right at the end of this week, yesterday's haftarah had a similar pasuk. Yeah. So Hashem is screaming out all the time, I love you, I love you, I love you. What's the purpose? What's the purpose of Hata Haveta Ladas? You took me out of Mitzrayim and you can take me out of my personal Mitzrayim. That's really what the pasuk means. Because we're not just celebrating an event 3,338 years ago. That makes no sense. It's much beyond that. We're saying, Reben Shalom, there's nothing you can't take me out of. There's nothing. There's no Mitzrayim that it's so Meitzayam, it's so constricted, it's so bounded, it's there's nothing that you can't take me out of. So what's the purpose of that? What's the purpose of Hashem screaming out His love for us? We don't hear its love, we don't see it, it's everywhere all the time. But it's screaming in silence. Why? What does Hashem want me to do with that conclusion? It's only chesed, it's only echad, it's only one love.
Recognize him and thank him.
Okay, recognize him, thank him.
Hang in there and help
him. Hang in.
Love him back.
To be soimach on a Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Tchila.
Okay, thank you. Carry on.
Love him back.
Love him back, for sure. Love him back.
Live with him.
I'm going to tell you a story from Yaakov Meir Shechter, Shlita. I don't know where it's recorded, but I read it in Rabbi Biederman's parasha. He quotes him, didn't say where he quotes him from, but Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter gives a mashal, or it could be a real story, but I can't tell if it was meant as a mashal or not. But he tells a story of a younger man who lives in Bnei Brak. And he has a neighbor, and you can see from the two apartments who's got wealth and who hasn't got anything. So you'd see just from their front door. And the younger man whose front door is
empty
and it's old and decrepit, he notices that a package of money is brought every week to his neighbor, whose house is very well taken care of, and he learns in the same kollel, and his curiosity gets the better of him. One day he can't help himself, so he looks at who's sending this package, and he's filled with anger. It's his best friend, who's also his chavrusa, is sending money and supporting his neighbor. So he couldn't take this. How could this possibly be so? So he decided he's going to write his friend a letter. And he wrote him a very simple letter, said, I'm really working hard on controlling my resentment towards you, that my neighbor is getting this package of money, and we're friends for so many years, we're even chavrusas, why would you ignore me? And he said, I'm being done chavzchus, there must be, I don't know how to be done chavzchus, but there must be a reason, and I'm asking you why. He gets a letter back a few days later, and dear Moshe, that was his name, whatever, and the rest of the letter is four words, end of letter. You never asked me. What's that mean?
Hashem wants we should ask him.
Ask. What should I be asking for?
Whatever.
Everything.
Everything. What's the most important thing to ask for? Please be mochel me. The biggest difference between Rav Nachman and all the other rebbes in Hasidic history, what's the biggest nafgamina? When Hasidim would come to to Rav Nachman, what was their bakasha?
To get close to Hashem.
Help me. I need more eitzes to get closer to Hashem. And when people came to him for children, Parnasa, he cared. So in Sicha Lama Tes, in Sicha Swan, he cared. He cared about their sorrows. But he would also say, that's not, I don't want you to turn me into someone who's providing all these segulas. I want you to turn to the Makar, Habracha. And so he was constantly, because he said, why should I be a Rebbe? Why don't you become your own Rebbe? And he never said those words. I don't know if he said those words, but why should you think that because you're a chassid, you've got to rely only on, why don't you become a chassid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu like I am? And when Rav Nachman would ask Rav Nachman, what's the difference between you and all the other, how did you get to be so great and others, they put their whole lives into Avodas Hashem, but never reached what you reached? And he said, Mistama, they didn't want it enough. So the bottom line is, do I want it? And if I want it enough, then what happens next? Ask for it. Don't ask for Elon Musk for a 25-cent loan. That is a misunderstanding of what he's capable of. Don't ask a Kaddish Baruch Hu just for Parnas. He's going to give me anyway. Hashem promises, I'm going to take care of Ani Kel Shakai. One of my names is I am Kel, the power of Shakai, of enough. Says Rashi, Yesh Be'elkusi Dai Lekol Bria. Every single ant, elephant, and all the human beings in between, I've got enough in my power of resources in this world to provide for everyone. You know, it used to be in the world of economics, they actually believed that because the, and this sounds, at first what you can hear sounds logical. If you cut up a pizza pie into lots of pieces, so if you've got 20 people in the room, you've got to cut it into 20 pieces. If you've got 100 people, it's going to be, everyone's going to get a smaller piece. So there's an assumption that the world has limited resources and therefore there's not enough for everybody. So how many rich people can you have? So this was a false premise till technology really took an exponential leap. And a book was written about 3 decades ago by actually a Jew who had a bar mitzvah. From Bar Mitzvah, John Zane Pilzer is his name. He wrote a book called Unlimited Wealth. It's a fascinating book where he proves that based on how technology is moving, we thought that the number of billions of barrels of oil available to the world was a specific number until technology enabled that we can now drill miles beneath the Earth's surface and discover huge resources of oil that we didn't know existed. And now we've learned how to turn water into electricity. And we've been turning wind into electricity with all these windmills, etc. So the point being that when Hashem says, Dai Belkusi Lechol Bria, I can provide for the whole world. So have as many children as you want, it's on me. So when we ask for Parnasa, it's part of Shmona Esrei. But really, what does Hashem want me to ask for the most? I invest in having the best possible Olam Hazeh in Gashmias, or this world is only a prusdor. It's only the smorgasbord before the actual real chuppah, the real wedding, or the real banquet. Oh my, that is forever. Also, I'm really only meant to be more than anything else asking you, please, Baruch Shalom, bring me close to you. Help me with my davening, help me with my learning, and get specific. Help me, Bein Adam Chavra, and get specific, this particular wife. Not that I have more than one anyway, but I can't afford any, even though I'm Sfardi. But I can't afford more than one. So get specific. This particular kid is really getting under my skin. It really gets under my skin. But you told me, blossom where you planted me. You planted this kid in my world. You planted, let me squeeze the most out of myself to be the best father, best husband, best in my career that I can be, not in competition to others, to provide for my family and maybe some. Help me in every single area of my life. Please help me, I beg of you. I'm Masich Das from you. The moment I finish learning, Shacharis, I'm already upset with so-and-so that there was a beautiful Rosh Chodesh and they took the last, really not my favorite chocolate. And move on, Rebbein Shalom, help me to get out of this crazy tiber for dark chocolate. Help me move on. Whatever is my challenge, Hashem says, please, I only give it to you to blossom, not to be resentful, not to be angry. So Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter is basically telling me, please ask. Please, I will give you too. I got plenty. I got plenty for you as well. What holds me back from asking? Number one, I don't have the rotzen. And that's we talked about a little bit last week from Sichas Ram Nun Aleph. It's a beautiful, it's a very long Sicha, but he talks there about the importance of rotzen. We quoted the week before that from Perek Yud Halacha Gimel in Hilchas Teshuvah of the Rambam, that rotzen is unlimited in terms of having a metaphor which Rambam is bringing, that the whole of Shir Shirim is meant to be a metaphor for the Ahava for Kadosh Baruch Hu through the Ahava of an Isha, that a person can't get her out of his mind, not when he's eating, drinking, going to sleep, waking up, every moment of his waking moments, but it's really only a mashal to the Ahava for Kadosh Baruch Hu. So number one, I don't have enough rotzen, so okay, so I have to refuel the rotzen. Ribbon Shalom, I don't have enough rotzen. I get my mind so easily distracted by how I want to be able to afford all these different zachim and move to a different zip code and please my wife with building an extension, and she's not happy with this particular car that we have leased. I've got 2 years left on it and whatever. It doesn't make a difference what it is. Blossom where you're planted. How? Have I got the rotzen to turn to the one who has Hakol Yachol? And just keep begging and begging and begging. And if I don't have that rotzen, beg for the rotzen. Ask at least for the rotzen. But the second piece, which is really, and we talked about this last few weeks, the emunah that you can. I need emunah that you really can. Why do I have to have emunah in this diet?
Can or that you will?
That you can. What you will is up to you. But I know you can. And what I do know is you want me to let go of my tithers. You want me to let go of sinner and natira and kinna, jealousy. Because you've already instructed that in the Torah. Lo tachmod, lo titaveh, lo titar, lo tikaim, lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha, don't hate your brother and your thoughts. It's already, that you've already told me. So now I know what to ask for. But do I have a munna that you really, really can help me? Get me out of this. Turn myself around. So that is huge. And that's what we quoted last week. We didn't really learn it inside, but that's in Kuf Mem, in Sichas Aran, where Rav Nachman talks about levels of Emunah. We know the highest level, of course, is Emunah in Hashem. He also wants me to have Emunah in his Torah and his Tzadikim. But there's a fourth type of Emunah that he really wants me to have. And in this particular Sicha, Rav Nachman recorded it. Ibn Kuf Mem and Sichas Aran is quoting a Chazal in Soita, Sha'al de Katnas Emunah Tzrichim La'avdus Kajas, that when a person that doesn't have a big Emunah, it's a very small, constricted, limited Emunah, so a person has to do lots of hard avoida. A person has to really work hard at learning and davening and mitzvahs. But what happens if Hashem, you are responsible for me being matzliach in reading accurately and fluently and learning taich and having a havana and learning enough information that I can then actually learn the difference between this word and that word in the pasuk, so that I now to learn a nafkamina and the nafkamina gemara that Tosfos is bringing, so that I actually can understand and sharpen my mind. Help me. So when I fall into the emunah that it's my learning based on my intelligence, that is katnas emunah. But what happens if you, Rabban Shleilam, hakol yachol? And that's why, name me, who was Rav Nachman's Rebbe? Where did he get all his information from? Who was his melamed?
We don't know, right? Do we know?
Ha! Melamed! Torah le'amo Yisrael. He davened. When he couldn't understand Chumash, he begged. He couldn't understand Mishnayos. Begged, Rabban Shleilam, please, I want to understand your Torah. If he wanted to know the meaning of a talis, what did he do?
Cried.
He cried. How many tears did he cry? So in Kuf Ayin Beis in Sichas Aran, he tells a Talmud who he gave his talis to, he said, be very careful with this talis, because as many strings as you can count in this talis, that's how many tears I cried to understand the meaning of talis. Of tzitzis. Wow. He begged Hashem, Now, why did he do that? What was his premise? Because there's nothing you can't do for me. There's nothing. But what was the premise of that? You love me so much, there's nothing you wouldn't want to give me. But Hashem says, please ask. The whole purpose of Atahareta Ladat, that you know that Hashem Hu Elokim, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is constantly your power of all powers, Ein Oidim Levadai, and there's no other power besides, is so that you can beg him, please open my mind. Open my mind to your Torah. Please, I beg of you, let me be close to you. Help me Mesich Das from all the mitzvahs of the mind that you tell me don't go. Hatred, Natira, that's a huge one. Bearing a grudge, remembering other people's mistakes. Get me out of that. Please get me out of that. I don't want to be plagued. It's poison, literally poison to my mind. It's taking my life away. Worry is the opposite of tamimus. Worry and telling lies, not telling the emes. Get me out of there. Please get me out of that zone. Get me out of the kvetching zone. That's the worst zone to be in. We're going to see that near the end of Torah Zion, where he talks about, actually talks about Chanukah, that it's Chanukah, it depends on our on the crying that we did on Yom Kippur, and he connects it to the Chet HaMeraglim, that was the worst of all. We end up 40 years in the Midbar, destroyed on Tisha B'Av, the Bais Rishon, Bais Sheni. But the mechanic behind all that is what? What's the worst crime of all? What's the crime of? Sorry.
Crying for nothing.
Crying for nothing. What should I have been crying for? Sorry?
Vegas.
I could be closer to you, please, Rav Shlomo. And Rav Nachman used to say, how do I know that if Hashem gave me to be at the level that I mapped, maybe there's more? And so he started crying for more. Because he didn't know how much more is more. He just wouldn't stop crying. That was, if anything, was his greatness, it was he wouldn't stop asking. So said Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, his friend told him, you never asked. You never asked. Oh, you mean all I have to do is ask? Yeah, I love you. You're my friend. But in case in Kaviyahu with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, Amas Oilam Avtich. Alken is a very powerful lashon. It means there's a connection. Because of my love for you, Mashachtich Hasid. I brought down kindness to you. It's everywhere, all the time. Chesed Kel Kolayon. David Melech couldn't get it out of his mind. He was drunk with Dveikus in Hashem. And all the distractions. Michal saying you're embarrassing yourself by dancing wild in front of the maidservants. And he said, I'll do more than that as a covert to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I have no covert in Hashem's shadow. David Melech was the king of gratitude. And the whole problem with Meraglim was, I'm so stuck on the Lashon Hara of 10 tongues. 10 tongues brought about Tisha B'Av. And every single tragedy that we're still suffering from that, it brought about such tragedy and calamity all for one Nakuda. I'm complaining. And I've got no right to complain. It's a Pasuk, I think we quoted it before. Eicha Perek Gimel, Pasuk Lamates. Ma Yit'oinen Adam Chai. Says the Yalkut on that Pasuk. Atachai, you're alive. I gave you your neshama. You're breathing because I gave you your neshama. The oid mit loinen alai. And you're complaining? Mayit oinen adam chai. What have I got to complain about if I'm alive? Answers the Pasuk. Geber. Oh, you really want to be a strong person? Geber is referring to your inner strength. A gibor is kovesh yitzray. The Yetzer to complain is the biggest Yetzer Hara. Comes along, the pasuk Geva al Chata'av. Complain about your mistakes. Oh, that's the only thing I got to complain about. Don't complain about my wife's mistakes or my children's mistakes. Move on. Let go. Love. Bidan Chavskos. Look for the Nekut Stavis. So says Rav Nachman back to Kuf Mem in Sichas Aran. Rav Nachman responded, Amati lefanam kimishtoimem. I was shocked when Rav Nachman said that when a person has katnus of emunah, he has to do very, very big avodas. Because what ends up happening is my emunah, instead of it being 100% in Hashem, it starts to be in the Sfarim that I'm learning. So I've got to chazer it again. I've got to figure out another way to remember it and learn it and do a pilpul. And before I know it, I'm totally on my das to understand and remember and be able to give it over. And Hashem says, you can go that route, but the real emunah is, trust me, I can open up your mind. Even Rav Nachman promises that if you throw yourself immersed in his sefer Likutei Moharan, he promises he'll open up Shvili HaMoach. He'll open up all the pathways of the mind. It's an astonishing. My best example of that is my personal example of that is Gedalia Fenster. So it blows your mind. He's been learning Likutei Moharan I now think about 20 years, and it's mostly in English. His Hebrew is not. He never went to yeshiva. Never learned in yeshiva. He's got a tremendous fakias in Likutei Moharan, and he speaks every day for 30, 40 minutes, every single day. And he's got over 50,000 people listening to him. And most of his makaris are coming right out of Likutei Moharan. It blows your mind that a person's mind is so expanded because of this one sefer. And the difference is, he had a munah. He trusted Hashem that if this tzaddik MS, who he trusts implicitly, says so, he's throwing himself in. And so he threw himself into Likutei Moharan. It's amazing. So comes along Rav Nosson, and he was mishtoimem. He was shocked when Rav Nachman explained that my emunah is small because I've transferred it from Hashem to my learning. And he says, my thoughts started racing. I couldn't believe this. Ki nidmeli sheyesh li emunah ksas. I've got some emunah. Ana va'ama. So Rav Nachman answered back to him, Beloshen Ga'ara Ksas, with a little bit of what would appear to be impatience, but to really knock home, because Rav Nosson could take the punches. Ka'omer, ve'im yesh lecha emunah, if you do have emunah, ein lecha emunah be'atzmecha. Very powerful statement. You don't have enough emunah in yourself. He actually didn't say it enough. He said, you haven't got any emunah in yourself. So Rav Nosson took this really to heart. The problem with a katnas emunah is I don't believe that I'm chashuv in Hashem's eyes. That's why the Gemara there in Sota, I don't remember where in Sota, it says here, Mem Ches Amud Beis, where it talked about gedolim, great people, having katnas in themselves, not believing in themselves. What's that katnas that I don't believe? That Hashem loves me. Shigam hu chaviv be'enei Hashem. Ve'aklal muven midvarav. She'adam sarach she'yeh lo emuna ba'atzmoy. What is the principle that I've got to take out of this? I need emuna in me. What's that emuna? Shigam hu chaviv be'enei Hashem yisbarach. I am also really chaviv. And if I'm really chaviv, then why wouldn't Hashem want to give me? So King's Palace is guarded by lots and lots of guards. And they won't let anyone in, and you have to have an appointment, and it takes months to get the appointment. And walks in this schnipsy kid, and the guards open all the doors. Why? It's the king's son. That's why he lets him in. He doesn't need any protocols. He doesn't even have to knock on the door. He opens the door to the king's throne. And the king says, oh, my lovely son. Oh, you're Chaviv. What do you want? What can I give you? That is what Atahareta Ladas, I think, is what Rav Nachman is trying to help us understand. The Tzaddik Emes is here to help us. And that's why when we get to the next paragraph, Gimel, in this Torah, Zion, is going to talk about the biggest Rahmanas of all, the greatest possible Rahmanas, is Chas V'Shalom, I'm doing Aveiras. And the one word that he chooses more than any other, not Chet, not Pesha, is Avon. Avon is a bit less than Pesha, but Avon means I did it deliberately. Not lahakis, pesha is lahakis. So the greatest rahmanis to have rahmanis on myself, but I need the tzaddik emes to help me realize it's worthwhile turning to Hashem that he'll still have rahmanis on me for my averas. But we need tzaddik emes in every generation to be dan chavsus on all klal yisrael when we fall into avonis, because avonis is not shaykh to the Jews. It doesn't belong, our neshama is too davuk to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore we're only one thought away, one year of teshuva away from starting again, rebooting our mindset. Hashem, I'm starting now. You woke me up this morning, biggest proof you want me to be here. That's the biggest proof, because if I woke up, then obviously you haven't given up on me. And if you haven't given up on me, how much more so I shouldn't give up on me. So We see that the real emunah that Hashem wants us to have is that we can ask Hashem for anything. There's nothing He can't give me. Any questions or comments on this?
What happens with the resentment? Like when we ask Hashem, like, you're not giving me. I've been asking you.
Yes. Help me, because it's my resentment that's actually sabotaging me breaking through the next level of Ratzon. Because if I don't, if I really don't believe I'm deserving, or I don't believe you will give it to me anyway, that is going to sabotage my desire in the first place. That if I know I'm not going to get promoted in this job, I'm not going to go through all the different things to get promoted, because I know my boss doesn't like me anyway. So if I believe that, I'm not going to actually make the effort. Why make effort where I'm just going to fail anyway? So I need to start saying, please, Rabbi Shalom, you are the real boss, and I'm your son, and I work for your company, and I want to believe that you are the one who can. But I've got a lot of resentment because it's years and decades that I've been trying, and you're not answering me.
It's got to be will, not can.
Yeah.
We have to believe that Hashem's going to give it.
He's going.
Because if you don't believe He's going to, then okay. Then
so bitachon, I'm not sure if bitachon means He will. Bitachon means He can, and I have to ask, and whatever He gives me, I've got to grow with wherever I find myself. Yosef HaTzadik could have easily said, "That's it, Rabbi Shalom, I'm done. I was my father's favorite son, but not stum favorite as you would read in the pasuk. I was his favorite because you gave me the kelim to be koilet all the chokhmah He was giving me. He gave me the most chokhmah than any of His other children. So I was being groomed to be the leader of the family. And now what am I doing as a slave in Mitzrayim?" And then he said, okay, I'm starting again. I'm going to build myself up. And I'm going to do what my father taught me of how to be an Eved Ne'eman to a master. And so he does that for almost a year. And then he's accused of a false crime. Not only was it false, Chazal tell us in Medrash Agada and Medrash HaGadol, I saw in both places, he never looked once at Selusha, the wife of Potiphar. He never looked at her, ever. The Medrash adds, he didn't even have a hear about her. Now, she got dressed every day in a different outfit. Every morning, every afternoon. It was a different outfit. She just tried to get his attention. She was going mad trying to get his attention. He was ridiculously handsome. He wouldn't even think. That's amazing. And now, she tries to grab him. He runs out of his jacket. She grabs onto it. She uses that as evidence that he tried to mess with her. And he's thrown into a dungeon for 10 years and then another two for trying to get out. 12 years total. I can easily see Yosef HaTzadik rationally saying to himself, Rabbeinu Shloim, why? Why me? I tried my best. I didn't even do anything. I didn't even look at her. And this is my reward? This is my reward? And he held on strong. Not only did he hold on strong, he wouldn't have any resentment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and certainly not his brothers. He didn't know he was going to get suddenly whisked out of a dungeon, and within 24 hours he would be Mishnah Lemelech, viceroy to the greatest and most powerful emperor in world history at that point. Oh, Yeshua Hashem Kerefayin, because he wouldn't let go of his emunah. So I don't know if he never had any thoughts, but if he did, he pressed delete. Get a pop-up on your phone, press delete. Now if it's one to worth explore, press explore. Otherwise, press ignore. Ignore, explore. Those are my two options. And when you read the Torah, we're reading it outside in. So Yosef says to his brothers, don't get stuck in the outside in paradigm. Don't think that you sold me here because you tried to kill me and then dropped me into a pit and then sold me. Hashem was behind the whole episode. He orchestrated all this as a test to me, would I stay strong? And in staying strong, I would prepare for the Shibud Mitzrayim, which is already promised to Avram Avinu and Bris Ben Absarim, Yadoya Teda, you shall surely know, it's going to happen. But we could have come down here in chains, but I prepared the way. And please tell my father, I stayed a tzaddik, I never let go. And they're expecting payback, and Yosef he every time, if he ever had a pop-up that said, throw the towel in. Do whatever you can to have some tithers in jail at least. And prisoners do that. Prisoners do that with each other. It's horrible. And he was strong. He never let go. So Hashem said, you're my man. You're my man. And so he became viceroy. And he was able to say with 100% belief shalem, Loi atem shalachtim oisi hena. You are not the ones who sent me here. We remember selling you. No, El Elokim. It was the power of all powers. You're reading the wrong paradigm. You're reading outside in. I'm telling you what was going on inside out. What was going inside my mind? Rebbein Shel Olam, you can do no wrong. I don't understand you. I don't understand. I did the right thing and I avoided Silisha and I ended up in jail for 12 years. But that's your business. My business is I know you can and I'm staying strong. I'm not going to let go. I'm remaining loyal all the way.
It was constantly.
Yes.
Even the hard times.
Even the hard times. Yeah.
So and how do we get to Tamimus here?
Tamimus is tefillah. Tamimus, we said, is a kalibai kempiv. It's huge. Kalibai kempiv, what you're thinking and feeling and what comes out your mouth, it's all the same. It's congruent. It's a very, very poshut integrity. Very simple integrity. The tam, the chacham. Chacham was a brilliant, brilliant, sophisticated mind. The tam took everything immediately at face value and he knew how to live. You can't live yesterday. Unless you want to give a lot of money to mental health practitioners, you can't live yesterday. It's impossible. Ha'ava ayin, it's gone. It's gone. Atid adayin, the future never exists because as soon as I get there, it's already the present. Va'hoiva kerev ayin, this moment is going to escape me in as fast as a blink of an eye. The Tam knew the only moment you really live in is now. 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 And so when he made a shoe, right now, it was the best shoe he could make, and he was so happy with it. And when his wife told him, everyone else sells their shoes for way more. Says, but what have I got to do with them? Look at my shoe, it's so beautiful. Yeah, but it's three corners. Yeah, but it's so beautiful. He was so, Yagia Kapecha, Ashrei V'Tov Lach, he was so happy with whatever came out of his hands, because it was what Hashem gave him, this talent. It wasn't a very strong talent. And when he asked for water, it was delicious. Then he asked for wine, she poured more water. Oh, this wine is awesome. I'll have another, the different wine, so I can say, Hatova Meitiv. He was living in the now, and whatever the now was, blossom where you're planted, in the now, in the now. And he kept living this way. It didn't matter what he wore, it was the same jacket. He was enamored. Whether it was the weekday jacket or it's the same jacket given to him for his kaftan for special occasions, it was the same jacket. He had simcha in the now. A pshitas is now.
So the core of Tamimus is now?
The core of Tamimus is living.
Or is it you said heart, mind, davening?
No, but we said last week the greatest thing that a Talmud was once asked what his Rebbe, the greatest thing his Rebbe ever did. He said, the greatest thing my Rebbe ever did was whatever he was doing in that moment. Meaning that Tamimus, Kalibo Kempiv, if right now he's at home, so where's his mind? With his wife and children. If his mind is at work and all the things that he hasn't checked off on his to-do list, where is he? Well, physically at home, yeah, but his wife picks up. What? I asked you to do that. Yeah, oh, yeah, okay. And, where's my mind? Avraham Avinu was a huge tam. I believe his hallmark was Hineni. Now, don't look at the English translations. His name means like, here I am. It's way more than that. It means I exist for you only. That's what Hineni means. You look at the Psukim, Perikav base, in the Arkadah. Avraham Avinu, what's the Pasuk say there? I have it in my notes somewhere. Do we have it here? Oh, look for it in the Pasuk. Perikav base Pasuk Aleph. Nope. Sorry. Yeah. Pasuk Zayin. Perikav Chaf base Pasuk Aleph, going through Zayin. Vahi achar advarim ha'eleh, va'elokim nisa et Avram. He was tested, he was elevated. That's what nisa really means. Va'yoyme lav Avram. He said to him, Avram. What did Avram answer? Va'yoyme hineni. What's hineni mean? behold, I exist for you. Right now, my total focus is for you. Wife calls you, hineni, I'm here for you. Your kid calls for your attention, I'm 100% turn the phone off, leave it in the car, wherever. Hineni. Verse 7. Vayomer Yitzhak el Avraham Aviv, he says to his father on the way to Har Moriah, Vayomer Avi, and the father said, Vayomer, hineni v'ni. I exist for you, my son. You call it mindfulness, full of the mind is totally in the now. Perak Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Yud Gimel. This is Vayomer Yisrael al Yosef. Haloi Achicha Royim B'Shchem. It's last week's parasha. They're grazing our flocks in Shchem. La Lecha B'Shlecha Alehim. And he says, I want to send you there. And what's Yosef's response? Vayomer Lo Hineni. Ta, I'm here for you. I exist for you. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. No cheshbonus. Yeah, I know they hate me. Look, I'm here for you.
That's
Tamimus. Tamimus is living in the moment.
I do?
Sorry?
So for what I understand it, to summarize it, you were talking about what comes first and how do you develop it, right? How
right.
do you develop the Tamimus?
Right.
So for what I understand from what you said today is actually that obviously we need in order to achieve a munah, the right munah, you need rotzen.
Right.
Right. To develop the rotzen, you need a tremendous amount of tamimus. How do you develop tamimus? You say, start asking for it.
If I don't,
because
if I notice
you never
that I'm
ask, to give it in short, that's the metaphor that you used.
Yeah,
the
excellent.
Story, because
excellent.
You never asked. So basically, a person can start asking before having the right tamimus.
Yes.
Prior to him having the rotzen and the right emunah. Now you start, what you have to do is, you start by asking.
100%. Rav Nosson, on his deathbed, he said, I was mekayim all the eitzes of the Rebbe, of Rabbeinu Zal, but there's one eitz I'm not sure if I fulfilled to the capacity that I was supposed to, and that's the tamimus he required of us. I'll never forget Rosh Hashanah, Erev Rosh Hashanah, in Uman, I said to myself, you know, it's in the morning, I really want to go to the Tzion. I said, what's the point? I heard a voice saying inside me, what's the point? You're never going to get anywhere close anyway. So I said, that's probably true, but no, why am I here? And it's Erev Rosh Hashanah, it's Vidui Dvarim, and I've got a long shopping list of people to daven for, so I'm going anyway. And right at that moment, I don't know, I can't remember what it was, that the Masadrim with their jackets were pushing everyone away from the Tzion. And I had never seen, and I've been there 43 times, I think, I never noticed that there's a shortcut from behind the Tzion where my Morgenstern used to daven. There's a shortcut, there's a door there that actually, I never even explored it before, but actually it's a shortcut that actually brings you right by the Tzion. So I went there and all of a sudden I noticed there's a whole corridor that's completely empty and the Masadrim are pushing everyone away and I'm standing there right by the Tzion, only a couple of feet away, and the only person between me and the Tzion is a Nissim David Kivak. And he has a tikkun klali, he's holding it right up against his face, but the angle I was standing at, I could see his face. And he had such tamimus, such a smile with tears rolling down his cheeks, and he was talking. He wasn't saying tikkun klali. He was talking to Hashem. I said, tamimus is, every one of you who's got a child or grandchild, learn from them. Tamimus is simply living in the now. They know exactly how to live in the now, and they don't get stuck in regret. You never see a kid last long in the world of regret. It's simply not the way they are manufactured. We're all manufactured the same way, but we get complicated as the years go by. Tamimus is kaliboy kempiv. Shalem, tam is shalem. Shalem means there's parts that are working together. What are the parts? Your mind, your mouth, your feelings, they're all working together. Your body, the body language is all synergized. It's congruent. So when we're with our children, 100% there. We're saying Zmiras, we're in the Zmiras. When we're learning, only learning. Not looking up, not getting distracted, only learning. When we're davening, try to keep my focus on each word as they unfold from my mouth. It's a tamimus is in the moment. Tamimus is in the moment. Tamimus is in the now. So the tam, he basically had total attention. That's what tam is. Total attention, complete attention, mindful. That's what the whole world is getting all big, making a big, just complete focus. That's what it is. Kavana Salev literally is discipline of the mind. We've messed it up based on English translations coming from the King James Bible, but Kavana literally means target, Lev means mind. So the mind is, that means you've disciplined your mind. That's what Kavana Salev is. We're paying attention to the words coming out of our mouth. And Rav Nachman himself, he said, I'm jealous. Who's he jealous of? I'm looking for the quote. He was jealous of those people who were simple in their saying of davening, of Tehillim. It's in the Kut Imran, it's Tara Kuf Dalet, where he said he was extremely envious Anashim Apshutim Aksherim, of the very simple people when they would say Tehillim, that the Tamimus was so endearing to him. And if you want to know more about Tamimus, I call it Simplicity 101. Look at Kuf Aleph 101 in Sikha Sivan. He talks about Shitas and Tamimus. Very, very simple words there.
21?
Yeah, 101. Simplicity 101. That's the symbol I create for myself, because it's in Kuf Aleph, it's in 101 in Sikha Sivan. So you look at Sikha Sivan 101, see what he says there. We'll have to end on that. See Sikha Sivan 101.
Sounds
101. Kvar muvah kama pamim she'ein tzrichim shum hochmas ba'avodas abayis barach. There's no necessity for brilliant minds figuring out how to be oved Hashem. Rak tmimus u'pshitus ve'emunah. These are the three only ingredients. Tmimus, pshitus, emunah. V'ama she'pshitus hu gevoya min hakol. It's higher than anything else. Ki Hashem is barach baruch hu bavadai gevoya min hakol. Hashem's highest. There's nothing higher than that.
V'hu yitbarach hu pashut v'tachnis ha'pshitus. How do you translate that? V'hu yitbarach hu pashut v'tachnis ha'pshitus.
You know what? The best metaphor I can give you is if you look at this, you'd say that's a watch. If I ask you what's this, you'll say it's a watch. But mitzad, and that's posh, that's pshat. That really is.
Transparent.
This is not a very good example. Here's a better example. It's my father's watch. This is an Omega. And this one, if you open it up, you'll see there's lots of moving parts and they are all touching each other. This one is... this is a talking watch and it's almost empty inside besides the battery. There's no moving parts. But this is complex. A watch used to be very complex. When you look inside a watch, you see the complexity of it. So now I can't call it pashut. But if I just look at what it is, it's pashut, and it gives me the time. If I looked at the universe, as Hashem would look at the universe, it's pashut. Why? Because all the moving parts and the trillions and trillions of elements in the physical planet Earth, you'd say this is hugely complex, but actually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his Peshitas, it's all one, it's Echad, it's literally one. So if I looked at the beautiful planet Earth from outside of planet Earth, I would say our planet Earth is beautiful, and it's Pashut beautiful. Pashut beautiful. Now, if you want to get into what's the Pashut, all the moving parts, that's incredibly complex. And every single element in creation has trillions of atoms, with the protons and the electrons and neutrons.
So how do you call this pshit?
Hashem is ultimately pashut. His rotzen is pashut. It's really his rotzen. He wants the world to exist.
No, what's the interpretation?
I can't answer. I don't know. The best I can give is
achdus ha'pushut. The unity.
Achdus.
That's
unity.
Singular unity.
But that's pashut.
That's pashut.
That's pashut.
Being that you all connect.
The only thing, if you
come, also connects.
The only thing that exists caveat from outside of Hashem is our das, and that really is Chekele Elokam Min Ma'al. So we're really part of Him. But the Bechira we have in every next thought, that is the only thing we own. Everything is Poshut Echad. That's the best answer I can give. Thank you for your patience. Sorry? Yes. We've constantly done with Hashem. Yeah, that's Rashi brings that. Yeah. Rashi is in Lamed Tes. Lamed Tes. Vayar Adonai Perek Lamed Tes. Pasuk Gimel. Vayar Adonai Ki Hashem Itoi. This low life of Potiphar saw Hashem is with him. V'chol Asher Hu Oseh, Hashem Matzliach B'yadoi. Whatever he did in his hand, Hashem made him Matzliach. Says Rashi, how could this lowlife see that Hashem's with him? You see the Shekhinah? I don't see the Shekhinah. So comes along Rashi and says, Ki Hashem Itoi, Shem Shamayim Shagura B'fiv. He was constantly talking to Hashem. This bodes us.
So the fourth amendment is the fourth amendment that you mentioned is
Emunah Batzmai. Yes.
Emunah Batzmai. It's interesting.